What we see shapes who we become long before language enters our minds. A child recognizes faces, distinguishes objects, and navigates spaces before uttering their first word. This primacy of vision establishes our initial relationship with the world, a relationship that remains in flux throughout our lives. Our eyes constantly move, making thousands of micro-adjustments per minute, creating what might be called a circle of vision, with ourselves at the center. We don't simply absorb images passively, we actively select what we see, positioning ourselves in relation to it. Yet simultaneously, we're aware that others see us. This reciprocal nature of vision, seeing and being seen, forms the foundation of human interaction. When you catch a stranger's glance across a crowded room, you're participating in an exchange more primal than speech. This visual dialogue shapes our social connections from infancy through adulthood. Every image, from ancient cave paintings to Instagram photos, embodies a particular way of seeing. Even photographs, which appear to be mechanical reproductions of reality, reflect countless choices: subject, angle, timing, framing, light. Images evolved from conjuring absent appearances to becoming records of how someone perceived something. They capture not just what was seen, but a perspective on what was seen. When images become art, they carry cultural assumptions about beauty, truth, and taste. Assumptions often serving privileged minorities who shape interpretation to justify their position. Frans Hall's portraits of wealthy almshouse administrators reveal this dynamic, a destitute artist examining his benefactors through eyes of dependency. Traditional art criticism obscures these relationships. Rather than acknowledging social tensions, critics discuss harmonious fusion and contrast in purely formal terms, replacing lived experience with detached appreciation that ignores context. Our interpretation of images is never neutral. It's shaped by identity, perspective, and social structures. Museums displaying colonial artifacts without acquisition context, or fashion magazines promoting narrow beauty standards, demonstrate how what's excluded from our vision matters as much as what's included. In our age of mechanical reproduction, art has become transmittable information. A painting's meaning now travels through postcards, textbooks, websites, and social media, transformed with each reproduction. Digital technology fundamentally changes how we experience art, isolating details, altering scales and colors, making paintings available for countless new contexts. A Rembrandt self-portrait viewed on a phone becomes something entirely different from its original form hanging in Amsterdam. Unlike film, which unfolds sequentially, paintings present all elements simultaneously. While cinema forces viewers through a predetermined sequence, paintings allow us to examine each element at our own pace in order. Yet the painting maintains its authority through composition. The way Vermeer carefully places objects creates meaning regardless of viewing order. Words and context placed around reproductions fundamentally alter how we perceive images. Van Gogh's Wheat Field with Crows becomes an illustration of suicide when captioned as his final work. Museum placards, art history texts, and Instagram captions all shape our understanding. Reproductions compete with advertisements, news images, and memes, their meaning constantly shifted by what appears beside them. Women learn early to constantly survey themselves, simultaneously experiencing and watching their own actions. This creates a dual identity, surveyor and surveyed, shaped by how others, especially men, perceive them. The dynamic is clear. Men act and women appear. Men look at women while women watch themselves being looked at. This shapes both gender relations and women's self-perception. The surveyor within her is male, the surveyed female. She becomes an object of vision. European oil paintings, particularly nudes, reveal how women have been historically viewed and judged. Beginning with Adam and Eve, where nakedness existed in the beholder's mind, the genre evolved to display women's bodies specifically for male viewers. The distinction between nakedness and nudity is significant. Nakedness is one's natural, unclothed state, honest and human. Nudity is nakedness transformed into display, where the body becomes an object. Nakedness reveals, while nudity displays. Oil painting emerged as dominant in post-medieval Europe, not just for its technical merits, but because it expressed new attitudes toward property and exchange. The medium's ability to render texture and solidity defined reality through what could be possessed and displayed. Oil paintings typically depicted purchasable items, placing something on canvas paralleled buying it for one's home. New genres emerged unique to this tradition: still life showing wealth, animal paintings highlighting livestock value, and buildings presented as property features. Even landscapes reflected ownership attitudes. Gainsborough's Mr. and Mrs. Andrews shows its subjects as proud landowners, their appreciation of uncorrupted nature stemming from their position as its proprietors. The medium served ruling class interests by presenting a world defined by possession. This materialistic nature often conflicted with spiritual themes, particularly in religious works where sensual depiction overshadowed sacred messages. In modern cities, we encounter countless publicity images daily, an unprecedented concentration in human history. Though constantly updated, these images never speak of the present, instead referencing an idealized past while promising a better future. Publicity's core message is simple: transform your life by buying more. This promised transformation will supposedly fulfill us, even as spending makes us materially poorer. It achieves this through showing enviable, transformed people. For being envied creates glamour, which publicity expertly manufactures. Publicity often borrows from historical art, frequently referencing famous paintings. Art lends publicity both affluence and cultural authority. The connection between oil painting and advertising extends beyond specific references to their shared visual language of gestures, poses, and techniques. Yet publicity operates distinctly from oil painting. While paintings displayed what owners possessed, publicity creates dissatisfaction with present circumstances. Oil painting spoke to those profiting from markets. Modern publicity targets workers turned consumers, playing on their fear that without possessions, they'll become invisible and irrelevant. When we understand how images shape perception, we gain the power to see differently. By recognizing the politics behind images, we can question what's shown and hidden, identify manipulation in advertising, and challenge the objectification of bodies in visual culture. Seeing isn't neutral, but it's not fixed either. We can develop critical vision, examining not just what images show, but how and why they show it. We can create images that challenge power structures, understanding that our ways of seeing are learned and can be transformed. In a world saturated with images selling products and ideologies, visual literacy becomes resistance. By understanding how images affect us, we reclaim agency in how we see. When encountering any image, consider: who created it? What assumptions does it make? Whose interests does it serve? What does it reveal and conceal? Our ways of seeing shape our ways of being. By becoming conscious of how we see, we open the possibility of creating a different world.